Writer Pam Houston, who does the foreword for the book Woman's Best Friend, Women Writers on the Dogs in Their Lives, describes dogs in a way that, to me, just says it all. Half Buddha, half bozo. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Good Dog Podcast, where today I'll be talking with Megan McMorris, who edited that book, Woman's Best Friend. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you so much.
And it's great to have you here.
Great to be here.
Pam listed a whole lot of other wonderful things in her essay about dogs that also kept me going, that they keep us tethered to the earth, that they're our sanity keepers, our personal trainers, our gurus, our reason to get up in the morning, our bed warmers, our nurses, teachers, and hearts. Beautiful and also true.
Mm-hmm.
Have you always been a dog person?
You know, I haven't, and that's the funny thing. I wrote an essay in the book that mentioned that I was a cat person for the first 32 years of my life, and I wasn't a dog person at all. I was always afraid of dogs. I didn't get it, and I was just strictly a cat person until someone came into my life. So now I'm converted, and now I straddle both sides of the fence.
That's all right. Although my husband always quotes this bumper sticker that he saw once that said, "Dogs have owners, cats have staff."
Oh, yeah, that's so perfect. And that's what I love about both dogs and cats, because they're so different in that way.
But dogs are our best friends in ways that no one else can quite fit the bill.
Absolutely.
Tell me about the origin of the book.
Yeah, I actually got pretty lucky with this. It's published by Seal Press, and their tagline is "For Women, by Women." And I had done some hiking books for another branch of this publishing group, and they knew that I had hiked with my dog, and they asked me to put it together. And so that was kind of the origins of it. I just fell into it in that way, and I just got really lucky with a great editor who is a devoted dog mom. So we kind of bonded just over that. And that was what was really interesting, is just realizing that bonding experience of all the dog moms. And so that's why it was great to have it be just for women. And we just went from there. I just compiled the stories, put the word out to all the writers I knew, and we got a great collection.
What's unique about the bond between woman and dog?
I know, that's the interesting thing. I didn't think about it when I was putting the book together, like men versus women. It just so happened, as I said, Seal Press concentrates on women, so I didn't really think about what that difference was until the book came out, and not only the contributors who were ended up emailing me a lot because they would want to, once the, you know, they read the other stories, they wanted to email some other contributors because maybe part of their story resonated with them. And in essence, it's more of just a bonding thing. And I imagine, I don't have children, but I would imagine it's much in that way of something that we have in common with having dogs. We talk about, I know with my women friends who have dogs, we talk about all different aspects that my friends who don't have dogs do. And I think that's different than with men. I'm not sure because I'm not a man, but I would imagine, you know, the whole man with dog thing, that's man's best friend, you know, that's been storied for a long time. But I would imagine it's more of an individual thing, not necessarily us coming together to bond over that. And so that's unique.
So these were women who are writers first and just happen to have dogs. They don't generally write about dogs per se?
Exactly. I did want to. I have 15 years of magazine experience. So I mainly went from my friends who were editors and writers first and foremost, because I wanted it to be really well written. And then I branched out and tried to get some bigger names in there as well. So no one really is a devoted pet writer per se. And I wanted the quality of writing to be really up there. And, I put the word out. Anyone who's a women writer who happens to have a dog.
Which I think makes the stories that much more personal. I mean, these are not people who are writing about dogs all the time, but you're getting a little glimpse into their personal life. What share with us, if you would, a story that really touched your heart from the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I try to do is really provide a variety of stories, not just ones that are talking, we all love our dogs, obviously, but not just talking about, oh, yay, me and my dog walking paw in hand down the road or something. I wanted it to be a variety of ways that dogs affect our lives. And one example of that is writer Abby Mims, who talked about her family pug, Wally, who basically takes on, realizes that the family is going through a lot of anxiety and takes on the anxiety of the family as they're going through her sister's breast cancer treatments. And it's what touched me about it is it was very poignant and sad and, you know, stressful with that she's mentioning what her family is going through. But then it parallels with Wally, this who's becoming a mess, and she has a lot of humor in it as well. And that really displays a lot of what I try to do within the book is have some witty, humorous tales and also have some longer, poignant stories.
I liked reading about the things that dogs do for us or teach us, like if your paws are too big to fit in your ears, somebody else must have to do the scratching. If you want your hand licked, you just got to put it underneath someone's nose. And the way that dogs teach us that really in the face of loss, love is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And that everything is forgivable. More little gems that I picked up from the book that we should learn to just be happy at the mere sight of a loved one. How not to take things personally, how to remember the good things and forget the bad things, and how to have faith that even though it's raining and you can't go out and play, the sun is going to come out again.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting when you said that they do help you through loss, because since I was talking, I just was spreading the word, and I was realizing some stories that were coming to me that you know I hadn't anticipated, which were various ways in which dogs do help us through certain trials in our lives. For example, one writer talked about a really bad pregnancy that she had had where she was bedridden, and it wasn't, she would never have left the house if it weren't for her greyhound who needed to go outside here and there, and that kind of kept her sanity. And another writer also talked about a divorce that she was going through in a hard couple of months where her dog helped her through that, and it was a bonding experience for them. And so I think you're right, they do help us through all different aspects of our lives in a way that cats are great, but in a way that they might not want us to take us outside, take them outside, for example.
I have vowed with this show I'll never get into the why dogs are better than cats argument, because first of all, it would be an endless conversation. But beyond that, it's, you know, I don't want to malign cats themselves or cat owners in general, but it's that sense of loyalty, mm-hmm. that how can I make your day better, that dogs experience all the time. I personally have had a number of experiences where my dog has gotten me through, so to speak. I think part of it is that they don't speak, is that silent understanding, right. And just looking at you. When I was in labor with my first son many, many years ago, mm-hmm. Ziggy, my dog at the time, knew it absolutely, not before I did, but knew what was going on, and just sat next to me on the floor, put one paw on my thigh. I mean, things like that. Mm-hmm. I know that my sister, too, ironically enough, you just talked about one of your writers who had a sister with metastatic cancer. My sister actually ended up dying of ovarian cancer, and I don't know that I would have been able to go through the whole experience as intact as I did without the support of Farfel, who also developed cancer during that same time.
Oh, wow.
And I had a talk with him, and I said, you cannot die.
Uh-huh.
You just cannot die this year. You've got to hang on. You've got to have a reprieve. And he did.
Oh, wow.
He did, and hung in there. I mean, he since has passed away as well.
Mm-hmm.
But and his photo is the one in the icon of the Good Dog podcast. That's Farfel's face. And they teach us so much and give us so much. And I think for women in particular, also that sense of safety and not being alone, particularly for single women.
Sure. And there was actually a story that when you were talking about going through labor, I wanted to include some aspect of, you know, this kind of seventh sense that dogs have. And one story was a woman who, she had three children, and every pregnancy that she went through, the dog would do something very strange at night. He would become a little dog blanket over her stomach, and that's how she realized that she was pregnant every time. It was.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, it was very, very strange. So I liked that story, kind of this unexplained, you know, sense that dogs have, too.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting one, creating the bond between the dog and the baby. I was concerned when I was pregnant that first time that, you know, how was he going to understand that he was no longer my one and only, and that he was going to have to move over and make space for this new being coming into our lives, and also wanting them to have their own relationship. So I remember talking about it with the pediatrician. Was it okay to let the dog lick the baby right off the bat? You know, and absolutely it is. Mm-hmm. Puppies, maybe not 100%, but certainly full-grown dogs, no problem at all. And then what we did is we would present, as soon as we came home with this newborn, we presented the baby to the dog as though, sure, this is your baby. Look what we brought for you, and let him sniff the baby and lick the baby, and always, you know, gave him an opportunity to be there and protect the baby. And sure enough, that's what he did. He became the baby's protector, and they were, you know, just best of friends for many, many years. And I think that's, you know, for people listening, trying to, you know, wondering about that very thing, that's the way to do it, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, there are going to be some dogs who are going to be jealous and who are going to act out, and you need to be very watchful of that. But overall, I think the key is to, you know, try to facilitate that bond.
Yeah, I've heard that as well, that the dog does end up being protective of the baby. That's very sweet.
Great. So what's next for you? Are you going to continue writing about dogs, or are you off onto other horizons?
Well, it's funny that you should mention that, because I do have a cat version that came out this year, Cat Women.
I'm not interviewing you about that. You've got to find your own podcast.
I know. It's very interesting learning, because I went back to the same contributor. It's interesting learning who was just a dog person and who straddled the line like I do. So, and now people are laughing. Well, what's next? Women and their unicorns? So,
horses.
Yeah.
Horses. Women are nuts about horses. I've never understood it, but I know there's some kind
either.
Of thing.
I know. That's one area I just can't go to. So dogs and cats are, that's good. But otherwise, just other projects around the bend, but nothing concrete so far.
All right. Well, we are happy that you edited Women's Best Friend, Women Writers on the Dogs and Their Lives from Seal Press. And also, we're glad that you chose to join us today on Good Dog.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been great.